Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I was in error before the break. It was not Fred who was leaving. It was Chris Woodward. Thank you, Chris, for being with us for the first hour.
Welcome
back. Welcome back, Fred.
Good to be back.
And that squeaky voice you heard, that was Steve Jordahl. Was that
Chris.
Your Chris
that,
imitation?
My Chris imitation.
Wow. What? Squeaky.
What? Well, he's a long ways away. Okay. So it's a distant Chris.
All right. Well, anyway, welcome, Steve. Now,
hey.
When am I supposed to ask you about these? Right now?
You can do it anytime you want, yes.
Okay. So there are, looks like, five big Reese's, are those Reese's peanut butter cups?
They're Reese's peanut butter cups, yes.
Okay, and I'm. What do you have these in here for?
Well, as you may have noticed, and people on the radio don't know, but I've been having some little problems with my knee.
Yes, I have noticed that.
I've been doing a very scientific experiment. Is it the chocolate or the peanut butter that's better for knee pain? I need some more research yet.
Okay.
But that's what I'm doing.
So are you actually going to eat one of those on the air?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know it's helping my ear pain because you're not talking right now. Well, that was pretty good. And why shouldn't you eat on the air? Because when Tim's here, when Tim Wildman's here, you have to crinkle up some paper and stuff, and he'll there you go. When he's eating popcorn. So if you the peanut butter cups for Reese's are certainly quieter. So how's your knee?
Well, I'm getting a shot today.
The gel. Peanut butter cups have nothing to do with it. It's not the chocolate or the peanut butter.
If I'm miraculously healed by the time I get to my doctor appointment about 1 o'clock central today,
you'll know what it was.
I'll know what it was. And I'll just tell the doctor. Right. They'll put me in medical journals, and I'll be famous and rich.
Yes. Well, folks, do pray for Steve. He has had some problems with his knee, and so please be praying for him. And hopefully, things go well at the doctor's
old.
As well. Well, that's going around. Believe you me. All right, start us off, Steve.
All right, let's start with this. Sometimes it's fun to watch the left tie themselves into knots. They don't understand what they're saying or doing. Maybe they do, but we have a prime example. I want to introduce you to a San Francisco supervisor. Her name is Hillary Ronan. And in 2020, Hillary Ronan tweeted out this. I want to make it clear that I believe strongly in defunding the police and reducing the number of officers on our force. For decades, we've had an imbalance in our city's budget with hundreds of millions of dollars going to SFPD to have them do work that they're not qualified to do. Firmly in the camp of defund and reduce the police. Well, this was Hillary Ronan at a recent San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting, Cut 10.
We've been begging for more footbeats and for more officers in the Mission District. I've been begging this department to give the Mission what it deserves in terms of police presence all year long. And I have been told time and time and time and time again, there are no officers that we can send to Mission. It hurts, and I feel betrayed by the department. I feel betrayed by the mayor. I feel betrayed by the priorities of this city. It is not this Board of Supervisors' priorities. We want our residents safe. We don't want our residents getting shot, getting assaulted, getting killed, because in the Mission, Chief, it's not theft. In the Mission, people are getting shot and killed. In the Mission, people are getting beat up. In the Mission, people are dying.
Well, Fred, now she's referring to the Mission District.
Mission District in San Francisco.
The Mission District. Okay, so Fred, obviously there's nothing funny about people getting shot, dying, beaten, robbed. Nothing funny about that. However, I do enjoy it when reality walks up to you while you're eating your sandwich
slaps
at lunch
you in the face.
And then slaps you in the face. Because what was this supervisor's name?
Hillary Ronan, R-O-N-E-N.
Hillary Ronan wanted to defund the police, mm-hmm. wanted the funds to be cut from the San Francisco Police Department budget.
Specifically fewer officers.
Fewer officers. And now she was eating her lunch, and reality walked up, took her sandwich off her plate, and slapped her on the forehead. Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad.
Yep. You reaps what you sows.
Yes.
And that's what's happening. And we've seen this time and time again in San Francisco. You've got these left-wing district attorneys that go loose on crime. Wasn't it too long ago the mayor of San Francisco got all excited about the crime wave going up in San Francisco? We got to do something about it.
I think so.
You know, here's the reality. This is a great example of the left. They go out there with their mindless ideology. You know, it's kind of like Joe Biden. I'm going to declare war on fossil fuels.
Yes.
Yeah, this country doesn't need oil. It doesn't need gas. By the way, could you gas up the 747? Because I'm going on vacation this weekend.
Right.
You know, the American people are fed up with this. They're absolutely fed up with this. We're dealing with a story, and I think Chris is going to get some reaction to this today. It's a Democrat up in Maine saying that Joe Biden now wants to kill the lobster fishery
right
up there because he's all upset that these lobster boats may be hitting whales. And they're trying, you know.
A single example, by the way.
No. And the lobster fishermen are saying, wait a minute, the whales die sometimes because there are cruise ships that go by. Their whales die sometimes because there are big ocean-going tankers that are.
And wind turbines.
I
would think that the whales would win that battle.
Yeah. But here's the thing. He says the lobster fishery, the Biden administration thinks they can get away with this kind of left-wing nonsense because the lobster fishery isn't big and powerful.
Right.
And this is what's going on. And I tell you what, I'm glad you played that long example of this particular, is it a council member? Is that what they
yes,
call
sir.
Her? A council member?
City council member.
Because there she is. They won't admit, I wish the media in San Francisco, there was one honest reporter who would go up to her and say, this is what you said in 2020. Now you're reaping what you have sown. So we don't have any sympathy for you, council member. Yeah, we feel sorry, like you were saying, for these
right.
people and the results of crime on the streets. But you brought this about, council member. You should resign.
Well, and this is the problem. So the people of San Francisco, and apparently especially in the Mission District, which must be hers that she represents.
Yes. And by the way, let me just correct myself. She's a district supervisor. It's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. So they're suffering the consequences of the bad policies spawned by a rotten ideology.
Yes.
And you know what? We're all going to face those consequences because Americans are not learning fast enough.
Yes.
All right. So when we have reported on this show and American Family News, Biden administration policies regarding gasoline-powered internal combustion engines. We're not going to have gas-powered cars by such and such date. We're going to require that your washing machine use less water. All these policies are going to drive prices through the roof.
Yes.
Everybody is going to suffer the consequences of bad policies informed by these rotten ideologies, and I don't know how long it's going to take for Americans to wake up, to start by rejecting the ideology and then clean up these policies.
Yep.
All right, Steve. You got us going already.
I've got a couple more. This is all examples of woke, and then I want to wrap it up with some really, really good comments this morning from Jenna Ellis on her show.
Okay.
But the second woke story I have, this is, you remember last week, I think it was? Yeah, the U.S. Circuit Court judge Kyle Duncan visited Stanford and it was shouted down.
Yes.
And they called for an administrator and they got the administration in charge of diversity, inclusion, and equity up there who continued to lambast the good judge.
She lectured him.
Yeah. Are you sure that the juice is worth the squeeze here? Do you really need to say this? What's important about free speech? Well, there was a reporter for the Washington Free Beacon. His name is Aaron Siberium. And Aaron wrote an article about this. The student protesters published the name of the students that are in the Federalist Society at Stanford.
They're the ones that invited the judge. Yes.
They said.
So they doxed them.
They doxed. Well, it's part of their cancel campaign.
Yeah.
And so here's the names of all of our students that were in the Federalist Society that asked this racist guy to come talk to us.
Now, why did they publish the names of those students?
It was a cancel campaign.
They wanted to cause them trouble.
Right. Right. They did. So Aaron writes an article for the Washington Free Beacon, and he named the board member of the Stanford National Lawyers Guild. And that board member sent an email demanding that the Free Beacon remove her name and those of other students from the reporting because it's threatening and dangerous. Let me quote Mr. Siberian. He tweeted on Sunday, "I identify the board members of the Stanford National Law Guild, one of the groups responsible for the protest, who in a public statement described the student protest as Stanford Law School at its best. A few hours later, the board member demanded I redact their names."
So these were people who did – these weren't the people who published the names of the Federalist Society members, were they? But they allowed students to do it?
The student protesters published the names of the Federalist Society, the Stanford National Lawyers Guild organized this protest.
Okay.
So they were behind the protest. Okay. They were the ones that brought all the students. And so I don't know if they specifically put the names out. They certainly didn't oppose that.
Right. And they didn't ask their own students to remove the names of the Federalist Society students. So
no, they wanted them canceled.
This is kind of in the what's good for the goose is good for the gander file.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And then let me take you to New Jersey. There's a lady, a mom there named Angela Reading. She's a mother of two. She serves as a school board member of the Northern Burlington Board of Education. She was taking her child to an event in the evening at her child's 7-year-old's elementary school, and she walks in and the kid sees a poster on the wall of his school.
Elementary school.
This kid is 7 years old and asks mom, what is polysexuality? That's what the poster was advertising. She's incensed, so she brought this. This is actually a school on a military base.
Yeah.
She brought this to the attention. She tweeted out that this shouldn't be in the school. And the commander of the base, or one of the high-ranking people on the base, he's a lieutenant colonel. His name is Major. He's a Major Christopher Schilling of Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst. Flagged her post and alerted local police that she was a danger to the community there, the safety of the community.
Fred, this is we talked about this last hour. We talked about the weaponization. Mm-hmm. Now, this is obviously the military, yep, which is an institution, mm-hmm, in our country. But we talked about the fact that those on the left, the radical left, and increasingly that includes the military, because the Obama administration, now the Biden administration, have been pushing to replace, my opinion, and this is not just my opinion, I've talked to a number of people, former members of the military, who said, no, this is going on. Pushing out Christians, mm-hmm, pushing out conservatives, pushing out those who do not want to go along with the woke movement within the U.S. military, to purge the military of those people in leadership, replace them with these woke champions, like apparently this guy, this major,
Christopher Schilling.
Okay. And he's considering a mother a threat,
yeah,
a danger to the community, mm-hmm, simply because she doesn't want her 7-year-old to be confronted with an issue like polysexuality.
Yeah. And the military wonders why they're having problems with recruitment.
Right.
You know, as somebody said, many of the military for years and years and years has relied on conservative areas of the country for recruits. We're talking about Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, right, Texas. But people who live in those states, conservatives, and there are other conservatives in other parts of the country, but primarily a lot of the recruits have come from the Bible Belt and just beyond. If you live in those areas where conservative values still mean something, do you really want to go to the military?
Right.
And have this kind of junk, this political nonsense forced upon you? I have sources within the military. So the changes have been absolutely dramatic. instead of getting rid of this nonsense policy of basically and Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, started this.
Right.
Remember when he was appointed, that he said we're going to search out the social media of our soldiers.
Right.
So we're going to find out, you know, if they go to a Christian ministry website, they're a danger.
Right.
So we're going to
be under suspicion.
We're going to target those individuals. So that's why they have recruitment problems. Again, the military is reaping what it has sown. And the response so far is, let's lower the standards.
Yeah.
They now have an intermediary area for a recruit coming in the military who's overweight, cannot run, you know, 500 feet without being exhausted.
Right.
They're letting them into the military, and they're sending them to this intermediate place to try to get them to lose weight so that they can then send them to boot camp, and they might make it through boot camp.
Right.
You know, it's just insane what is going on in our military right now. And that's why recruitment levels are down. It's this kind of nonsense.
It is.
And I would say this leader, this major you said he was, that's his rank, I would say he's looking to climb the ladder.
Right.
That's why he's doing this kind of thing. And if he does, he should be disciplined for trying to verbally attack this mom for doing what a normal mom would do.
Well, and I somebody ought to be finding out why a military school has a poster up promoting polyamory or polysexuality, whatever they were doing, because we're talking about elementary school.
Yes.
It strikes me as so bizarre that just a couple of years ago, it would have been a no-brainer. You don't do this. You don't cut healthy body parts off kids. And now, if you oppose it, all of a sudden, you're the worst person ever in the world. You're backwards. You're troglodyte. There you
right.
go. Isn't it
troglodyte?
Yeah. It's not. It's
not a chocolate.
Right. I'm a chocolate. yeah. So this is all examples of woke. And we have a new firebrand in the morning, Jenna Ellis. Every time I get to hear her program, I'm more impressed with what she's done. I want to play you a couple cuts. The first is, this is all examples we've been talking about woke. I want to play you Jen Psaki from her new MSNBC show, who is saying, there's no threat to woke. Republicans are using this as some kind of a Trojan
horse. You mean there's
horse.
No threat from woke?
From woke.
Yeah.
There's no threat. It doesn't exist. Listen to cut 12.
Blaming the wokes or wokeness or wokeism has become a knee-jerk reaction for Republicans on any issue. Clearly, the term itself is a little bit ambiguous and has been subject to a lot of interpretation. But many Republicans have co-opted woke and increasingly used it to rally their base against their political opponents. For Republicans, wokeness is public enemy number one. By the sound of it, there is simply no greater threat to American liberty. Whether or not they actually believe it, they clearly think it's a winning message ahead of 2024. Even in Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis says woke goes to die, voters did not have a clear idea of what woke is supposed to mean.
What is woke? It's kind of a nebulous term, right?
Oh, well, Ron DeSantis won with a far bigger margin than he did the first time in this last election in November. Listen, mom and dad may not have a definition for woke, but they know how it's manifesting itself.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who say they're girls being allowed to play on girls' teams. The woke crowd wants to introduce sexuality to kids who are in kindergarten, and Ron DeSantis moved against that. He moved against Disney when Disney went on the war path against Ron DeSantis because he wanted to bring this parental protection into being. You know, all the left called it the Don't Say Gay bill, which was a lie.
Yeah. Right.
Which was a total lie. So the people of Florida may not have a definition for woke, but they sure know what it looks like.
Well, Jenna Ellis has a definition of woke. Listen to cut 13.
This is why words and definitions matter. The left accuses us of not being able to define woke or critical race theory or even socialism or any of their leftist philosophies. This is on purpose because an idea is harder to challenge when you can't pin it down. So if we spend all of our time arguing about definitions, we never get to the merits. Woke is simply this. The belief that there are systemic injustices in American society that must be addressed and redressed. We reject the false idea that there are systemic injustices in American society. So therefore, we reject the left's solutions to that mythical problem of systemic injustices. We reject all critical theory outcomes that pervade education, corporate structures, things like ESG, CRT, DEI, all of these terminologies that really just stand for one thing: diversity and equity over genuine equality and merit.
There you go.
I'll buy that.
Yep.
Listen, I've operated under the assumption, like Fred said, it's not always easy to define woke. Now, Jen Ellis did a fantastic job there. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, you may.
I'm going to borrow it.
I give you permission from Jenna.
Here's what I do. If you can't define what a woman is, you're woke.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've seen people do all sorts of mental gymnastics. Yeah. Trying to deny the reality of what a woman is, and so woke. So it's a belief that there are systemic injustices in our society, and those have to be addressed and redressed.
Yes. In other words, we talk about it and we fix it.
Yeah, that's excellent.
All right, let me end here. Ed, I'm going to give you a script here. We're going to do a little creative reading. Now, this is a true story. I looked it up. I did my research on...
You forewarned me about having to do this. I do not know what this is.
My friend, my wife and I have a friend who put this out. My friend, and this is a true story. My friend's aunt died this past January. Citibank billed her for February and March and their monthly service charge on her credit card and then added late fees and interest charges. The balance had been zero. Now it was somewhere around $60. I placed the following call to Citibank.
This is real?
Yes.
I read the green?
You read the green.
Okay.
This is me. This is my friend. I'm calling you today to tell you that she died in January.
The account was never closed and the late fees and charges still apply.
Maybe you should turn it over to collections.
Since it is 2 months past due, it already has been.
So what will they do when they find she's dead?
Either report her account to the frauds division or report her to the credit bureau, maybe both.
Do you think God will be mad at her?
Excuse me?
Did you just get what I was telling you, the part about her being dead?
Sir, you'll have to speak to my supervisor.
And then he gets the supervisor's phone call. And then I say, I'm calling you to tell you she died in January. This is the manager.
The account was never closed and the late fees and charges still apply.
You mean you want to collect them from her estate?
Are you her lawyer?
No, I'm her great nephew.
Could you fax us a certificate of death?
And then, sure, and they give the fax number. And then Citibank says,
our system just isn't set up for death.
Oh.
I don't know what more I can do to help.
Well, if you figure this out, great. If not, you could just keep billing her. I suppose I really don't think she cares.
Well, the late fees and charges do still apply.
Would you like her new billing address?
That might help.
Odessa Memorial Cemetery, Highway 129, plot number 27.
Sir, that's a cemetery.
Well, what do you do with dead people on your planet?
This is a real conversation.
According to my friend, it is a real conversation. I tried to look it up on Snopes and everything. That really happened.
Wow. That's on you, Citibank. Way to handle.
You're about our banking system,
your
right?
Your local bank. Speaking of our banking system, how much time we got?
2 seconds.
Oh, can we run the Three Stooges thing? No, you know what? We don't have time. We'll later on in the week.
Yeah.
I want to give a little bit of setup to the Three Stooges. Some of you remember who those were. I'm not talking about Ed, Fred, and Steve. All right.
Although it might apply.
I have a very funny Three Stooges routine. It's only 15 seconds. That kind of gives some insight into how we got into this financial mess we're in. We have later on in the week. Tim won't be back for another week. He'll never know we played the Three Stooges. All right, folks. Thank you for listening. We had a good time today. Hope you were encouraged and convinced to pray for our country and get involved. You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll have another great program for you tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Phew! Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.